Join Sam and Will as they bring the Bible's stories to life through historical evidence and try not to feel out of place in a car garage, all while bringing you Under the Hood.
Welcome to Under the Hood. I'm your host, Will. I'm here alongside Sam. Sam, what are we talking about today?
Today we're going to be talking about how faith, spiritual disciplines, all of those kinds of things actually yields health benefits to you. Like they actually improve your physiological health.
And we're talking about that with adults because last time we talked about that effect with kids, right?
Yeah, and we talked about how that was overwhelming, how if you bring up a child to be engaged in church and to pray and to read the Bible and to do those things, like every study that's been done shows that it's a tremendous benefit to them, from grades to behavior to mental health, emotional health, their ability to adjust to the world, suicide rates, anxiety rates, everything across the board. When a child is brought up in the faith, the statistics show that they are at a great advantage in a myriad of ways.
And that just doesn't end at 18. You know, you and I sit here, obviously not in childhood anymore, but as we continue as adults, does that have an effect on us as well?
Yeah, and it has a tremendous effect. Not only, like, because you can make sense. Like, if I have faith, there's benefits to that. Like, that you can reason out that if I believe that there is a God who is sovereign over all of my yesterdays and tomorrows, and he can forgive me of my past shame, that's going to help my mental health, right? And if I know that he's sovereign over tomorrows and that I can trust my tomorrows to him, even when they don't make sense, like you can reason that, hey, that should help your mental health. And somebody who doesn't have that and is just feeling like life is at the whims of chaos and circumstances, that would be a pretty traumatic way to live, right? But what they find in addition to that is it's not just the mental and emotional health benefits. There are physiological health benefits that actually change the way your body works, that enables your systems to work better, that enables you to live longer. And all of these different medical schools right now are looking into this, and they're like, there's something to this. And everybody's noticing.
And I think that's a huge part. It's not just a bunch of Christians walking around being like, my body feels good today because I know God. It's saying, like, no, real science says, hey, we've studied this. We're tracking this. This is a real thing that we want to figure out. Hey, why does this happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like the sociologist looks at our kids and the coming generations and says, faith is good for them, right? We can look at the sociological evidence, the scientific evidence, and say there's something that is good about training up the next generation with religious involvement. And now the medical establishment, like you said, is looking at the evidence, the body of evidence over here, and saying, wow, it's not just in behavioral stuff. This is good for the body. So there's a doctor, we're gonna be hitting a lot of these, you know, studies. I'm gonna be quoting a lot of stuff, but it's fascinating to me, so fascinating. Dr. Byron Johnson from Baylor University just kind of says, you know, this is going to be an overarching statement to cover the rest of the episode. He says, there is a mounting body of empirical evidence suggesting that people who are active in their faith, that's active in their faith. It's not just, yeah, I believe. This is people that are engaged. They go to church, they pray, they read their Bible. It's important to them. That people who are active in their faith tend to be the recipients of a number of important physical and mental health benefits. There was a guy who came out of Georgetown University School of Medicine, Dale Matthews, who looked at all these different studies and found that 75% of studies on spirituality confirmed substantial health benefits. And one of the lines from his book that I loved, it said, if prayer were available in pill form, no pharmacy could stock enough of it.
That's wild.
And I love that because, like, when you go on YouTube or you look around, like, every other commercial you see is like, try this diet, try this health fad, do this. And it's like, people are so desperate to improve their health. And he's like, you know, faith is free, prayer's free. And the studies are showing that it actually improves your health. But it's faith. And so people are like, oh, I'm not sure if I want to try that. When all of the science is saying, this benefits you, give it a shot for your own well-being.
Could you imagine sitting down with a doctor, he whips out his prescription pad and he just writes prayer and hands it to you?
Yeah.
Like, what do I do with that?
Yeah. Go to church, read your Bible more. But here's the thing, like, if you step back as a Christian, this shouldn't be surprising to us because we believe that God designed the world, and he designed the world with certain behaviors that are blessed and certain behaviors that run into consequences. And so if God designed the world and he tells us that we should be in the Word and we should pray and we should go to church and we should have spiritual disciplines, we should not be shocked that when we get into the flow of the way that he's designed the world, that it does actually make a difference in how we experience life, and that we experience life with more health and with abundance.
Yeah, because, I mean, the science is now backing, like, even the fruit of the Spirit. You think of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are all positive things.
Yeah.
Like, more of that in our lives would make it better. So it makes sense that now it's kind of tracking that way.
Yeah. So Harvard, and we're going to be throwing out a bunch of these, but Harvard University and Gallup teamed together, and they did a survey of 200,000 people worldwide. And they found that people who attend religious services were more likely to, what they called in the overarching category, to flourish in life. So it was directly correlated to happiness. It was directly correlated to close relationships, financial stability, physical health, and mental health. So when they looked at the categories of what it means to flourish as a human being, 200,000, huge study, they found direct correlation to religious involvement and all of those things. Why? Yeah. You know, it's pretty fascinating. Sapien Labs did a study of 240,000 people in 65 countries and found that the lowest mental health was found in the countries with the least religiosity.
Hmm.
The highest mental health was in the countries with the most religiosity. So those that attended religious service, practiced rituals, prayed, and read the scriptures, according to them. Harvard did another study that involved 109,633 adults, and the study found that, I'm just going to read it, quote, women who attended services at least once per week had a 68% lower risk of death from despair. Now, what does that mean? That's a polite way of saying a suicide or an overdose.
That's a high number.
That's crazy, 68% lower. So that means that someone who is regularly attending church, they're finding their hope outside of their circumstances, they have a relationship with God, it reduces their risk of overdose or suicide by 68%. And this is at a time where we have a suicide epidemic among women. Hmm. And it's saying, this is the most impactful thing that you could throw in front of a person to reduce their risk of a death from despair. Like, as a culture, if we love our people, shouldn't we be like, yeah, get into that. This generates health. Go to this. If you love your people, you should want them in that. And by the way, men who attended those services once a week had a 33% lower risk of death from despair. So a little bit less, but both of them, dramatic improvements in what you would call death from despair. And so you've seen these studies just again and again. We're going to hit some more of them, but again and again, to where like doctors were like, this should be in our schools.
Yeah.
Like, we should be teaching this. If we genuinely care about the health of people, this should be in our medical schools. And so Dr. Hill Koenig from Duke University said this: medical students should be required to take a religion and health course, and doctors should take the spiritual histories of their patients.
Hmm.
Stanford does a study, and they issue a report. Religious faith can lead to positive mental benefits, writes Stanford anthropologist. Newsweek publishes articles on this, and they say more than half of, this was in 2003, so I want you to get this. In 2003, more than half of med schools in the country offered spirituality and medicine courses. In 1993, a decade earlier, it was only three schools in the entire nation offered spirituality courses for med school students. Then all the studies started coming out, and a decade later, half of them offered. Today, according to the National Institutes of Health and George Washington University, more than three quarters of all med schools in our country now offer spirituality courses. Why? They're not just doing that because, oh, it's nice and fluffy and it'll make people feel better about things. It's like, no, the studies are showing that there is a direct impact on physical health. And magazine after magazine has written about this. A periodical, newspapers, medical reports, journals, everybody's confirming that spiritual disciplines leads to better health.
And that's a huge thing for med schools to say, like, for our next generation of doctors, but we want them to learn not just all, you know, how your heart works and how your lungs work, but like, we're going to put this in a course that they have to take in order to become a doctor one day. There has to be some evidence that says, no, we believe this for sure.
Yeah, that's right. Because when you think of med schools, they want to produce doctors that are successful, that have good results in the you know, surgeries and on the operating table and everything else. So they want success, and they're teaching hospitals. They want the best results. So they're going to do what it takes to get the best results. And if the best results point to faith, let's bring it in, right? So they're chasing the results. And here's another study. This is probably one of the most amazing of the studies to me. There were researchers from the University of Colorado, the University of Texas, and Florida State University that all came together, go Gators, whatever, that came together. We can still trust it, even though it's an FSU study. That came together to do a study on life expectancy and what contributes or takes away from your life expectancy. And so in Science Daily Magazine, they reported, listen to this. It says life expectancy beyond age 20. So when you take out infant mortality and accidental deaths of kids and stuff like that, once you reach the age of 20, the average life expectancy was another 55.3 years or age 75 for those who never attend church, compared to another 62.9 years or age 83 for those who go more than once a week. So if you are really involved in your church, you actually have a life expectancy that increases 7.6 years over those that never go to church.
Again, just like we read, like if that was in pill form, if anyone said, hey, I want to live another 7.6 years, if you just take this pill every day, you'll do it. Everyone would be like, I'm in. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden it's faith and it's like, ooh.
Yeah, like, well, I'm not sure I can trust that. And it's like, no, the science is starting to affirm this, right? And here's the other part of this. Like there were studies that were done, you can read about this on WebMD or the National Institutes of Health, where they found the same thing. Like in the National Institutes of Health, there was a study published from 8,450 Americans where they found that religious involvement, the very involved versus those who never attend church, the very involved had a 46% lower rate of mortality during that study than those who never went. So study after study, they find the same thing, and it's not by a little. Mm-hmm. It's by a lot. And when they look at the study, because you can reason out and say, well, you know, well, obviously people who go to church, you know, they don't smoke and they're not probably not as much into drugs and they're not doing the stupid things that lead to death. So that's all explainable just by behavioral differences. And in the study, when they account for smoking, when they account for all those other variables, they found that there is still something that goes beyond, even when you take away those factors, that yields longer lives for those that are involved in church. But they've also found studies that, you know, being engaged in a community, not being lonely extends your life, prayer extends your life. All of those things tend to give you longer and better years, better quality of life for longer. Study after study, that you won't find one that goes in the other direction that says, oh, go to church, you live shorter. And it's not even close. You won't find those because all of them show substantial benefits to the length of life and quality of life.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, I mean, when you look at this life, it's full of stresses. It's full of things that say, hey, this life is overwhelming. And if we have nowhere to take those things, if it's just me, Will, trying to figure out the stress of life with Will trying to figure out all the problems, I mean, my health is going to crumble. Mm-hmm. That stress just on my heart even is just going to be too much. So even the fact that says like, oh, no, I have a God I can trust that says, hey, take all of your worries and anxieties to me because I care for you. Mm-hmm. That's huge.
It
changes everything.
And you'll hear Christians say, I don't know how people who don't believe make it through this life. And once you experience the comfort of a God who loves you, who that you know loves you to the point where he would go to a cross for you, that's, you know, the Bible says he sings over you with rejoicing, that he's always pressing towards you, even when you're failing, that there's nothing that could drive away his love. There's such a comfort in that. Mm. And by the way, when you live according to his design, there's more joy, there's more peace, it's just a better life. Like it's more beautiful, it's more wholesome, quite frankly. But even beyond those things, there's some studies that they did where it's like the doctors go, we don't know why this is. So here's one that was published in the National Institutes of Health where they studied your synchronized heart rates and whether or not your heart is beating healthy.
Okay.
And so they took people and they monitored what their heart was doing when they were just like spontaneously breathing. They didn't, you know, just sitting there, you know, breathing. They studied the heart. Then while you were randomly talking to somebody, they studied the heart. And then they came in and they said, okay, we want you to recite a prayer So like recite the Lord's Prayer, recite scripture, read a psalm. And whenever you would go into like recitation mode of something that you had remembered, you know, our Father who art in heaven, they would find that your heart goes into the most synchronized beat of all the different things that they studied. So there's something about like when you go into, I mean, and like people who do therapy and mantras and stuff like that, there is something about repeating something again and again that brings calm. Like, yeah. I mean, you can go to places and you see that and they teach that all over the world. But how fascinating that God comes and says, here, do this. And when you do it, guess what happens? It's like your heart immediately goes, oh, I'm right in rhythm now. Hmm. You know, like, and doctors are like, that's weird. Can't explain it, but it happens. Here's another one from the Mayo Clinic. It says, most studies have shown that religious involvement and spirituality are associated with better health outcomes, including greater longevity, we've talked about, coping skills, obviously, and health-related quality of life, even during terminal illness, they find. So you're stage four cancer, but you're religiously engaged, you're doing your spiritual disciplines, your quality of life is noticeably better than the person who's in end-of-life illness that doesn't have that. That's kind of fun. And there's less anxiety, depression, and suicide. Several studies have shown that addressing the spiritual needs of the patient may enhance recovery from illness. So now they're finding studies that you have an illness, you go to the hospital, you get treated. Well, then they study like, okay, what's the likelihood that you're going to be back in with another case or another flare up? Did you get healed? So they're finding like the recovery rates are greater for those that have spiritual disciplines. So it's all over the place. Duke University, this one is, you can maybe self-explanatory, like he said, but Duke University did a study and they found that those who attended religious service once a week and prayed or studied the Bible once a day were how much less likely to have high blood pressure, would you think? 40%.
Oh, wow.
40% less likely to have high blood pressure than their religious counterparts. Now, if that was a pill,
yeah,
everybody would be like, oh, that's pretty successful. 40%, how much does it cost? Free. How often can I take it? Much as you want. 40% less likely for high blood pressure in a nation that really struggles with that, like, that's pretty interesting.
And these aren't just like, it's not like Florida Bible College is bringing up all these stats.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's not like there's some incentive to be like, well, let's fudge some numbers here and make it up here. It's not. These are major universities saying,
yep,
hey, this is just what we're finding.
This is the most reputable sources on this. So here's another one from Duke University. And I'm just going to read a quote from their release. It says, in a study of 1,718 older adults in North Carolina, Dr. Harold Koenig and Dr. Harvey Cohen found that those who attended services at least once a week were about half as likely as non-attenders to have elevated levels of something called interleukin-6, an immune system protein involved in a wide array of age-related diseases. Okay, so now let me explain what I just said. What they found inside your body as you age, there's this thing that's released called interleukin-6 that's an immune system protein that causes you to age.
Okay.
You don't want this, right? And what they found is, okay, let's go around and we'll study people who go to church often and then those that never do. And what they found is among the people that go to church often, they have half as much of this stuff running through their bodies that causes you to age faster as those that never attend church. Hmm. So like, I mean, you watch a TV and all these products that are, you know, trying to defy aging and everything else. And it's like, well, here you go. How about going to church? You know, like that actually reduces levels of interleukin-6 in your body. Like that's crazy. And they don't know why. They can't explain exactly why that happens. But it happens. What do you do with that? Why would you not want that? So here, let's just close out with a couple of statements by some of the big heavy hitters. This is from Yale School of Medicine, Dr. Stanislav V. Kossel. I'm assuming I'm saying that name right. He works in their Department of Epidemiology.
Sorry,
Stanislav. Yeah, that's right. He works in their Department of Epidemiology and Public Health. Listen to what he says. He says, even after we took out all the other variables, so behavioral things like smoking and da-da-da-da-da, even after we took all those out, there was still evidence that attendance at religious services had a positive impact on health. There were so many reasons for thinking that we should expect better health among people who are religiously involved, but until now, it wasn't anything that we were able to quantify. We also found that it wasn't a person's individual feelings of religiousness that made the difference. It was acting as part of the larger worship group that fostered positive health.
That's fascinating.
So if you have somebody at home who's just sitting around going, I love Jesus, it's not the same as being a part of Bible studies, going to church, which is fascinating because that's what God prescribes, right? There's a benefit to that. And then here, last one, and we'll close it for this. This comes from Harvard Medical School. So they hosted a spirituality and healing conference, and Dr. Alexandra Shields, who's their director of the school's Center on Genomics, Vulnerable Populations and Health Disparities, said this, just flat out, we cannot afford to ignore the potential effect of spirituality and religion on health. The keynote speaker gets up, Dr. Neil Krause from the University of Michigan School of Public Health, and says that there are now more than 3,000 studies indicating that religion has a beneficial impact on health. 3,000 studies. And you've got Harvard and Yale and Duke and Baylor and Texas and Colorado and Florida State and, you know, you go down WebMD, all of them. There's nobody who's out of chorus here. Everybody is saying religiosity, spiritual disciplines have a positive impact on human health, human longevity, quality of life, behavioral stuff, mental health, emotional health, suicide rates, grades, everything you can study. I mean, it's almost like there's some kind of design out there that when you yield your life to it, makes your life quite a bit better. Right?
Yeah.
Seems worthy of checking it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think the call is get to church on Sunday.
Right? But I think in addition to this, like it's, if you don't believe it, of course,
yeah,
you know, that I'm not compelling you to go to church just to get better and health and not believe any of it. But what I want to challenge you with is let this be evidence to compel you to believe.
Yeah.
If the universe as it's constructed rewards all the designs that God has laid out, maybe that God is real. Maybe his designs are right. And maybe you should yield your life and your resistance and your stubbornness to reject the science into the hands of God and receive an abundant life.
I mean, I think this does make a real compelling case for all of that. There is a God who designed us in a way that says, hey, this is how life's supposed to work. Follow along or not.
Yeah. And it's not a guarantee, but the overwhelming evidence, the percentages and everything else show that there is a direct correlation between spiritual health and physical health. The body's united, you know, all of these different aspects, your soul, your spirit, your body, all of this is interrelated to the one being of who you are. And so give it to the Lord.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. Anyway, we want to thank you so much for watching today. Join us next time as we go under the hood of another story in the Bible.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. We'd love you to check out some other content we have. You can find that at sunlitstudios.com.